Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, April 18th, 2018. We'll begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, Group Proposes City Government Change, by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. A group of citizens and business persons, calling themselves Moving Danville Forward, announced their intentions for a referendum for a change in Danville's form of government to a city manager/council format from a mayor/council format. Former Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens, who is now Danville Sanitary District Director, in addition to former City Comptroller Gail Brandon and former Alderwoman Nancy O'Kane, with several others with the committee standing behind them, including former city employees, landlords, realtors, and others, told media of their plans at a press conference at the David S. Palmer Arena Tuesday afternoon. Aaron said over the past 3 decades, Danville has experienced significant changes in its economic conditions with resulting impacts to neighborhoods and our citizens living within them. There are also many challenges facing our business community. Moving Danville Forward believes it is time to offer citizens the option to choose trained, professional leadership in guiding and prioritizing the use of taxpayer resources through oversight of the day-to-day operations of our community. Aaron said this isn't a criticism of Mayor Scott Eisenhower or past city leaders. This is about going forward, Aaron said. He said this is a result of an evolution of discussions. He and other community members have talked more seriously in the last few months about improving the city. He too said this isn't about him looking to come back to the city in a leadership role. This grassroots effort is focusing on the future of our community. Moving Danville Forward believes the city manager/council format will place Danville in a much stronger position to deal with the challenges of today, create fiscal stability, and implement long-term planning well into the future, Aaron said. According to a recent study, almost two-thirds of cities with populations of 5,000 to 250,000 have adopted the city manager-council form of governance. That seems a good indication others have found it to be a successful format. While all communities have unique challenges, strong and effective leadership skills of trained professional managers can be applied to those challenges. One could certainly suggest effective management demands a very different skill set than necessary for running for political office, he continued. Today is the beginning of a process to offer city voters a choice they have not had in recent times. Moving Danville Forward organizers recognize change can be difficult if it is not familiar. In an effort to explain that familiarity, there will be numerous community forums and town hall style meetings at which the merits and benefits of the city manager council format will be presented, with questions and/or concerns being addressed. Plans call for a number of public meetings each month, with the first one being scheduled in May. Organizers will also be reaching out to invite other mayors and managers to share their experiences and answer community questions, Aaron said. Organizers said a website will be available in the future. Brandon said a trained professional can help tackle the city's financial challenges. O'Kane, too, said she hopes people can join in their campaign. Aaron said they need 550 signatures to place the referendum question on the ballot at least 92 days before the November 6th general election. The question would read, "Shall the city of Danville, Illinois, adopt the managerial form of municipal government and continue to elect aldermen from wards?" Moving Danville Forward members say they are not looking to change the number of the 14 aldermen or how they are elected, two from each ward. The spring 2019 election is for mayor, treasurer, and 7 of the aldermen seats. One of the referendum signatures have been collected. Once the referendum signatures have been collected, the petitions will be presented to a judge for a hearing to determine placement on the ballot. The group says they believe the city manager council format offers citizens the best value for their taxpayer dollars. Aaron said a city manager could be someone coming in from the outside or a local person with city history to provide leadership. City manager council format can provide access to leadership candidates who have been educated, trained, certified, and experienced in the administration of local government. It also provides a higher level of accountability, as their job is continuously dependent upon their performance. A city manager at all times answers directly to the alderpersons on the city council. Elected alderpersons have the authority to hire, and if necessary, remove the city manager. As a result, this structure encourages participation and collaboration with alderpersons, the community, and city employees to be successful, Aaron said. The manager can focus their time and energy on the community priorities and organizational performance rather than the political needs to remain in office. It is a different context for making decisions with long-term impacts, Aaron said. Danville's current government structure was established in 1987 as a result of a civil rights voting case brought up by a group of citizens seeking better representation and participation in improving Danville through aldermanic representation. Under the new proposal, there would remain a part-time mayor, who would preside over council meetings and with voting rights similar to the current structure. The mayor would also make appointments to most of the boards and commissions, as is currently done, and would also serve as the official city representative at community events and functions. The mayor would focus their time and efforts in the community and working with the city manager and city council to guide planning and visioning for the community. The city manager would devote the vast majority of their time to critical issues facing the fiscal and day-to-day administrative duties of the city. Group organizers hoped the city council would involve the community in its hiring and selection process, and that a wide search would be conducted to attract a well-trained and successful candidate with prior experience in city management, Aaron said. The press conference, Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall, said he doesn't support a change in government to see city changes, but he thinks the city needs a new leader. Randall said he will not sign the petition. He said this gives him more cause to consider running for mayor. He said having a part-time mayor would add costs to the city budget, and the mayor's public relations duties, under the city manager form, could be given to the city's human relations position. Randall is concerned the change in government will diminish citizens' power and voices. He's not sure people would have the same representation. He also wants to look into the consent decree to see exactly what would need to happen for another government change. Eisenhower also released a statement. While I did not attend the press conference, nor have I received a copy of the press release, I do not believe the city manager form of government is right for Danville. When this city changed its form of government in 1987, it did so to give the residents of this community a greater say in electing its leadership. To take that out of the hands of citizens and instead put all that power in the hands of 14 aldermen stands strongly against what so many fought for 30 years ago. The current form of government is most responsive to the public and requires vision and leadership which benefits the community as a whole, not just 14 people. I hope as citizens consider this referendum, they evaluate what role they personally want in choosing their future leaders, or if they are comfortable conceding that power to only a few. We'll continue next with the article, Council Hears Tax Levy Update, by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. The city's property tax rate is lower than city officials projected late last year. Mayor Scott Eisenhower told aldermen Tuesday night the Vermilion County Assessor's Office released information showing a few million in increased equalized assessed valuation of properties. City officials had projected no change in the equalized assessed valuation of $291 million and had estimated the city's property tax rate would increase from $2.04 to $2.26 per $100 of EAV. The rate will be $2.24. Also Tuesday, the council approved the city's Community Development Block Grant Annual Action Plan for the 2018-2019 year that allocates about $900,000 in federal funding for roof replacements, demolitions, and other programs. Proposed program allocations for the approximately $886,169 in funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, $30,000 for two accessibility modifications, $150,000 for the Neighborhood Impact Program for roof replacements, $15,000 for homelessness emergency shelter building assistance, $200,000 $60,000 for demolitions and blight removal, $60,000 for economic development, $257,974 for public improvements and infrastructure, including stormwater and sidewalks, and $173,195 for administrative reimbursement. Ward 1 Alderman Ricky Williams Jr. asked about putting more money towards demolitions since the city has a dedicated fund now for stormwater. Danville Community Development Director David Schnell said the city is maxed out in the amount of CDBG money that can be spent on demolitions. Schnell also said plans for the CDBG stormwater money, including using it towards curb and guttering, such as near a failed storm sewer on Bowman Avenue, north of the Casey's, that was a project identified in the stormwater master plan, he said. In other business on Tuesday, the council authorized a new 3-year contract with Republic Services, owner of Brickyard Landfill, for dumping fees for waste disposal, finalized the purchase of Harrison Park Golf Course equipment under the loan that the council already approved a resolution to dispose of some inoperable public works vehicles and equipment, authorized the vacation of an east-west alleyway near 1012 North Vermilion Street for Fred and Kathy Cunningham, approved disposed of surplus Danville Mass Transit property, a 2008 24-passenger bus, for sale and scrap value. We'll continue now, once again on the front page, with the article, County Board Approves Security for New Building, by Brianna Kirkman. Danville. The Vermilion County Board met for the first time in its new location Tuesday on the second floor of the County Administration Building, formerly the Federal Court Building, at 201 North Vermilion Street. All county departments moved into the building from the Courthouse Annex Building, located down the road at 6 North Vermilion Street. County Board Chairman Mike Marin said when the building was acquired, his goal was to be completely moved into the new building in 1 year. But they were able to finish the move in just 6 months. If you see anyone who works for ground, maintenance, or tech services, thank them, Marin said. The phone and high-speed internet systems used today didn't exist when the building was last filled with employees, so IT workers had to install each piece of communication technology. He noted the current seating in the boardroom, which is a former courtroom, is temporary. He also plans to have a new sound system in the room installed. In the meeting, the board approved to have a deputy from the Sheriff's Department staffed at the building. We have been needing to find dedicated security in the County Administration Building, even when we were at the annex, Marin said. It's very important we make this building secure, especially with Congressman John Shimkus and Senator Scott Bennett here. There will be a deputy at the building 8 hours a day, with a rotation occurring between deputies at the Vermilion County Courthouse. The board passed that amendment, as well as an amendment to the budget to pay for that security. Also at the meeting Tuesday, the county board recognized the Schlarman Academy girls basketball team for their state championship win, approved an intergovernmental agreement to help the village of Catlin's aging water system by assisting in the purchase of a water pump. The pump will be owned and maintained by Catlin, and when they no longer need it, ownership will go to Vermilion County. Amend the combined annual budget and appropriation ordinance for the Vermilion County Coroner. Approved a bid to open road paving to fix the road from Fairmont to Seidel. An amendment to the budget to fund this project was also approved. Approved bridge repair for a structure in South Ross Township that washed out earlier this year. Began discussion to formulate a plan to decommission the courthouse annex and the Vermilion County Emergency Management Agency building. And heard a positive financial update, which stated the county's revenues are running 25% ahead and expenses are running 25% below for the year. We'll now go to the death notices on page 3A. Mildred Susan Page Owen, 91, of Hoopston, passed away on Friday, April 13th. A visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, April 21st, at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will begin at noon Saturday at the funeral home. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to First Baptist Church at 323 East Seminary Avenue in Hoopston, or Hoopston United Methodist Church at 403 East Main Street in Hoopston. Ralph Smith Jr., 88, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, April 15th. A celebration of Ralph's life will be at noon on Saturday, April 21st, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Burial will follow in Vermilion Grove Cemetery, with military honors to be conducted by the American Legion Dornblazer Post 203. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, prior to the service at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to Vermilion Grove Friends Church or an organization of your choice. Dorothy M. Ellis, 94, of Rossville, passed away on Friday, April 13th. Her celebration of life will be at noon on Saturday, April 21st, at Middle Fork United Methodist Church, Potomac. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday at the church. Burial will be in Potomac Cemetery. The family suggests memorials in Dorothy's honor be made to Middle Fork United Methodist Church or to your local animal shelter. Virgil L. McConnell, 92, of Danville, Illinois, formerly of Covington, Indiana, passed away on Sunday afternoon, April 15th. A celebration of his life will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, April 20th, at First Church of Christ at 615 5th Street in Covington. Burial will follow in Mount Hope Cemetery with military honors by the Army and Petersburg American Legion. Visitation will be 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, April 19th, at the church, and 1 hour before services on Friday. Memorials requested to First Church of Christ. Frederick C. Costigan III, 72, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, April 14th. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. to noon on Friday, April 20th, at Pape Family Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. Service will follow at noon on Friday at Pape's Burial. Burial to follow at Resurrection Cemetery with military honors by American Legion Post 210. Barbara J. Midcap, 75, of Danville, passed away on April 14th. A celebration of Barbara's life will be at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the service. She'll be laid to rest at Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. Carol V. Myers, 89, of Covington, Indiana, passed away on Monday, April 16th. A traditional Episcopal funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, April 21st, at Shelby Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Friday at Shelby Funeral Home. Memorials requested to Indiana Cancer Foundation or Covington Community Foundation, with envelopes available at Shelby Funeral Home. Donald J. Dietzen, 79, passed away on April 14th. A Mass of Christian Burial will be at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, April 19th, at Holy Family Catholic Church at 444 East Main Street in Danville. Interment will be in Resurrection Cemetery at 818 Went Avenue in Danville. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial donations to be directed to Resurrection Cemetery in care of Holy Family Catholic Church. Eunice May Sands, 67, of Danville, passed away on April 14th. A Celebration of Life service will be at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, April 18th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will be in Gundy Cemetery in rural Bismarck. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, April 17th, at the funeral home. Thomas P. Jenkins, 81, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, April 14th. A Mass of Christian Burial will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 20th, at Holy Family Church at 444 East Main Street in Danville. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 19th, at Sunset Urbas Funeral Chapel. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Holy Family Catholic Church or the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. Lawrence Larry E. Knight, 97, of Washington, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, April 14th. Cremation rites have been accorded. Dieter's Funeral Home and Crematory Services is serving the family. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to Mohammed Shrine Hospital Van Fund at 4201 Industry Drive in Bartonville, Illinois. Rebecca Klotzbach, 68, of Rossville, passed away on Monday, April 16th. Per her wishes, she will be cremated. James Tiny Wallace, 81, of Danville, passed away on Monday, April 16th. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. M. Mike Ward, 94, of Hoopston, formerly of Holmes Beach, Florida, passed away on Tuesday, April 17th. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. Michael Edwards, 65, of Hoopston, passed away on Monday, April 16th. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. For some more news, we'll now go to the front page of today's News Gazette. For the article, Lowballed, Hotel Owners Say Danville Officials Want to Take Their Site for Public Space, Aren't Offering Fair Price, by Tracy Crane. Danville. A Danville couple who have owned a motel on East Main Street for more than 30 years believe they have not been treated fairly by the city, which wants their property for public space and may pursue a buyout through the legal system. If they want it, they cannot snatch it, said Jashri Patel, who has owned the American Inn at 1824 East Main Street, Danville, since 1983, along with her husband, Bhupendra Patel. We work hard. We have spent our whole life here. The Patels, who are nearing their 70s, said they want a fair price for their property and their business, which is their residence and their livelihood. She said that generally, hotels sell for 4 times their annual income, but that's not what the city has offered them. Neither the Patels nor city officials would disclose the offered price, but Mayor Scott Eisenhower said the city had the property appraised and had offered that amount. He would not say whether the appraiser took into consideration the value of both the property and the business, or just the property. The reality is, they can own a hotel anywhere. We are not buying their business, Eisenhower said. The city doesn't want the business. They will still own all that. We are buying the property. It has been 2 years that the city has been trying to buy the 30-plus room motel, which has both short-term and long-term rates and houses some veterans and homeless individuals, some placed there through the Salvation Army. It borders the Veterans Affairs Medical Campus at 1900 East Main Street, and Danville Area Community College is nearby at 2000 East Main Street. The city wants the property because it has a plan for redeveloping several blocks of East Main, and part of its design calls for leveling the American Inn and making it a public space that would feature amenities such as a trailhead, parking, and green space, according to Eisenhower. Last month, a couple of aldermen objected to taking the property for the purpose of making a park, and the council decided to delay the eminent domain vote and gather more information on the issue. Since then, Eisenhower said, city administration continues to try to negotiate a buyout with the Patels, and the city is allowing them time to prepare additional information prior to another meeting, which has not been scheduled. He added that the council will not revisit a vote on eminent domain until after a meeting with the Patels. The Patels' daughter, Ami Patel, 34, of Danville, said the city's offer was very low, but she would not disclose the amount. We want a fair value. We want them to account for what is a fair value for someone who has worked 24/7 for over 34 years, said Ami Patel, who grew up in the family residence above the motel. I can't tell you the last time they had a vacation. They are always there. She added that the amount offered wouldn't cover even half her parents' bills. So if they lose the property, they would have nothing left over and nothing for retirement. In a letter supporting the Patels, Sharon Sokka, social services director at the Salvation Army in Danville, said that over the last 20 years, the American Inn has been a great asset to their homeless program, which helped 649 people put a roof over their heads last year. She said it would be a great loss if the hotel closed because the agency would no longer have that resource to serve the indigent. It just doesn't make sense to people who serve the homeless, Ami Patel said, referring to her parents. Tony Alessi, who stays long-term at the American Inn and does maintenance for the Patels, said the inn serves a lot of veterans who don't have housing or transportation, and they can easily walk next door to the VA for appointments. Ami Patel said she and her parents feel as if they have been bullied by the city. In 2012, a motel annex across Main Street burned down. Occupants escaped injury, but the city shut down the hotel for code violations, including fire alarm issues. Changes were made and it reopened. Ami Patel said her parents have met every requirement of city officials through the years, even spending money on fire alarm upgrades that weren't required. The Patels also owned a former bar and grill across the street that closed, and the city eventually tore down the vacant building for blight reasons at the cost to the city. Eisenhower said, Ami Patel said the city didn't give her parents time to respond before raising that structure, which they contend was not a dangerous building. At last month's meeting, some aldermen said the American Inn has had issues with drugs and crime, but the Patels adamantly deny that, saying that their motel is safe. They don't tolerate such issues and bar anyone who causes problems. Jayshree Patel said they have security cameras and monitor the property closely. Ami Patel said her dad has a chemistry degree from the University of Tennessee, but he fell in love with the American dream of owning a business when he bought the motel 34 years ago. She said the neighborhood around the business has changed a lot since she was a kid and would walk to her friends' houses. She said her parents don't drink or drugs, are strict, and don't tolerate those behaviors from others at their motel. We give people who don't normally have a chance, and if they break our rules, we ban them, she said, adding that her parents are always monitoring who is coming and going from the property. It's really interesting on that side of town. You really do have to be compassionate, strong, and strict. You literally have to get to know people. It's actually a safety precaution that we get to know who's staying with us and get to know their good and their bad habits. It's all kind of based on getting to know people, like a community. That's all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the commercial news dated Wednesday, April 18, 2018. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I look forward to reading with you again sometime.